Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Is there something on your mind you'd like to discuss with us? A question you'd like to pose? Good opportunity right now. 844-322-2742, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We start a brand new month as far as a subject is concerned, and this month's subject is the forgiveness of sins. And, boy, that's a big issue. We're all wondering if God has forgiven all of our sins. We know that Christ died for our sins. That's the first part of the gospel. But oftentimes we really don't understand what that means, what it means that Christ died. Well, he died to take away our sins. He died to send them away. He died to satisfy the wrath of God. There's lots of different aspects as to the why of his death, but the implication, the result for us, is that our sins have been forgiven once and for all. And once a person really grabs a hold of that truth, embraces that truth, rests in that truth, it's really an open door to growing in the grace of God and growing in their knowledge of Christ Jesus. If you don't know that your sins are forgiven, you're going to be stymied as a believer. You're going to be frustrated. This Christian life is never going to make sense to you. You are always going to be struggling. You are always going to be wondering if God loves you or not.
Yeah.
So this is an important issue. It is really important. But when you read the Bible, forgiveness isn't an end. Forgiveness is a means to an end. It is a requisite for something else to occur. And that's what we're going to read about today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 18 and just read verses 18 and 19. And mark your Bibles, folks. This is important stuff right here. So Paul writes, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. And he says, all this is from God. So the story of the gospel begins with God. It's about his pursuit of us. It's about him initiating to us to bring about something, to restore something that we lost in that garden upon creation, really. So he says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So why did God forgive our sins? Why did Jesus die on that cross? To reconcile us to God. That was the end. And so forgiveness is the means to bring that about. Without forgiveness, there could be no reconciliation. Without God sending away our sins, taking them away once and for all, we could not be brought back into harmony with him. We could not be brought back into relationship with him. So God sent Jesus. Jesus shed his blood. And in doing so, removed the barrier that stood between us, enabling reconciliation to occur. So why did God forgive us? So that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could be made right in God's sight. We could receive the very righteousness of God, so that we could be saved by his life. That's why God forgave our sins. So if you're not sure that God has forgiven your sins, then you're not going to understand the end result of that. You're really going to suffer as far as your relationship with God is concerned. And Richard and Bob, you know, for 35 plus years of us being on radio, this has been the number one issue, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. I mean, just look back in my own life, and I was forever wrestling with this, it seemed. I mean, there was no way out. The harder I tried, the less reconciled I felt. And it was only when, you know, cooler heads prevailed and people presented the gospel to me and got me thinking about Jesus instead of myself that I could see the truth of this. I'd read this passage a bunch of times before, never saw it, though. Mm-hmm. And now this is one of the central points of doctrine in the whole in all of Christianity, and yet we miss it so badly. Mm-hmm. This is important stuff.
Yeah, and it's so important. We've actually put together a resource called It Is Finished, and we want to put this resource into your hands. And this, if you will listen through, it's five messages. It's a CD series. If you will listen to these five messages and really let the truth of your total forgiveness in Christ sink in, soak in, be absorbed into you, I tell you, your Christian life will never, ever, ever be the same. And we're going to talk about the forgiveness of sins all month. So if you have questions about it, if you have concerns, if you want to really work it out in your life, we want you to call and be a part of the broadcast. The number is 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. So if you have a question about forgiveness and just anything in that regard, call and be a part of the broadcast today. We want to walk you through this and bring you to a point where you're resting in the finished work of Christ and rejoicing that your sins have been forgiven once and for all.
Absolutely. And we'll be telling you as the program continues just exactly how you can get your copy of It Is Finished. Five messages on two CDs, and it's a wonderful series, and we want you to have it. And we'll tell you about that, tell you more about that in a little while. 844, in the meantime, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And guys, from Natalie, Bob and Richard, question, is it wrong for a believer to have alcoholic beverages on an occasional basis? Will I lose my salvation over alcohol? That's from Natalie.
Well, no, you're not going to lose your salvation. And that really gets to the subject matter of this month. Has Christ forgiven our sins or hasn't he? And through his shed blood, he took away every single sin. And when we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sins. So we stand before God as forgiven people, righteous in his sight. Now, the issue of alcohol, there's nowhere in the Bible that prohibits the drinking of alcohol. It simply says, don't be drunk with wine. Why? Because when you're drunk, you do stupid things, yeah. And you do things that can harm you or can harm others. So that's the sin. That's what's prohibited. But as far as drinking a glass of wine or whatever it might be, there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't do it. But there is a truth that we need to address, that we need to talk about, and that's being a stumbling block. So God has called us to be controlled by the love of God. We're not to be controlled or drunk with wine. But we're to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, it means to be controlled by the love of God. So in all of our decisions and all of our interactions with other people, we want to be compelled, constrained, controlled by the love of God. So when it comes to alcohol, you may be in situations where it may be offensive to the people you're with if you drink.
Yeah, years ago, as a matter of fact, my brother-in-law, Alex, and he won't mind me telling you because he is with the Lord now, but he was a raging alcoholic for many, many years. The Lord delivered him, miraculously delivered him from alcoholism. But as we sat for dinner, I would not have thought about ordering an alcoholic beverage. I would not put that stumbling block in front of him regardless.
Right. And so I think it's important for us to understand that. We don't want to be stumbling blocks. Yeah. Paul talks about that in Romans 13 and 14. It's a big subject matter, especially back in those days. And back in those days, it really related to food more than drink. But Jews and Gentiles were becoming one in Christ.
Yeah.
And so they had different dietary guidelines. And so he's saying, hey, let's protect the fellowship and the unity that God has brought about through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And let's not make food something that becomes a stumbling block. And so I think the same applies for us today. Let's not make alcoholic beverages a stumbling block in our relationships. And guys, I just cannot believe how big of a deal drinking is in our society.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can sit down in most relationships, most friendships, and at some point, alcohol is going to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we had wine or how we did this or how we did that. It's like, who cares? I mean, my goodness, who cares? So the idea is, one, all your sins have been forgiven in Christ. You stand before God as a forgiven person, righteous in his sight.
Yeah.
There's no prohibition against drinking, against an occasional drink. There is a prohibition against being drunk. Don't get drunk on wine. But the overriding truth and reality is, let love be the guiding factor all your decisions.
Yeah, remember, this whole sin problem got started back in the Garden of Eden over two trees.
Yeah,
one was the tree of life, one was the knowledge of good and evil. And whenever we ask these kinds of questions on the standpoint of, is it okay, we're arguing from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Let's talk about the tree of life and ask the question, will my doing whatever I'm doing bring life to other people? That's be a stumbling block issue.
That's exactly
Let's
right.
talk about the life of Christ in us and in other people, and how can we enable that. Changes the kind of conversation, the tone of it completely.
Well said, Richard. Yeah. Thank you.
844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we would love for you to be a part of the this particular edition. 844-322-2742. Calls beginning to come in.
Yes, they are. We're going to go to Atlanta, Georgia, and our brand new affiliate, WDWD, and talk with David. Hi, David.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You are so welcome. Thanks for calling today.
Absolutely. Really like this program. I only recently discovered it, but it's timely that you're on the subject of salvation and such. Hebrews 6 has always really troubled me. 4 through, I don't have exactly all in front of me, but referencing impossible for those who were once enlightened, etc., if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, etc. I'm sure you know what I'm referring to.
Yes, and yes.
I've always struggled with, you know, the emotion part of it, feeling forgiven, feeling saved. Although I have sensed it before, I know that Christ changed my life way back in the day. But yeah, that, you know, made some mistakes like all Christians do, I suppose, and struggled with some things. And then it just came to the point where when I read that passage, I was just kind of really startled and kind of scared by it. And the only explanation I've really ever gotten from folks was, well, you know, people might not ever have been saved in the first place. And I don't know. I always, that explanation makes sense, but it also never really sat well, that well with me, because, you know, I know that Christ came into my life and changed me. So, but, you know, years on down the line, after this and that and some things, I wasn't just making some poor choices. You know, that scripture always really just kind of rubs me in an uncomfortable way. And it just like, well, I just kind of left not really knowing what to believe, you know, am I saved or not, based on, there's another passage, of course, you know, if we keep sinning, then.
Right.
So can you sort of lay that out for me?
Well, we can, David, yes. And we're certainly glad you've asked the question. And boy, I can identify with your path, the path that you're on. I, I came to Christ early in life at a summer camp between my sixth and seventh grade year. So I was around 13 years of age and really had a genuine conversion. But I didn't have much input following that, didn't have much discipleship following that. So I tried to figure out how to live the Christian life on my own, and I didn't do a very good job. And as I got into high school, all the temptations started knocking at my door, and they looked good, and I didn't have the power to say no. And so I would give in, and then I would feel guilty, and then I would pray and ask God to forgive me and ask God to come back into my life and probably pray to receive Christ, 500 times or more. And and all of that, I never felt forgiven. I loved how you said that, David, because that is exactly how I felt. I never felt forgiven. And I just couldn't do enough to bring about that feeling that everything was okay with God. But all that changed a number of years later at a Bible study right there in the Atlanta, Georgia area, when the pastor was going through the book of Colossians, and he read Colossians chapter 2, that we who were dead in our transgressions and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made alive together with Christ. He forgave all of our sins. And that was a wow moment for me, an aha moment. Lights went on. Everything clicked. It's like God has made me alive together with Christ. See, that's the real story of the gospel, David. Not only did you receive forgiveness the moment you believed, you were made alive together in Christ. You became a new creature, a new creation. The old had gone, the new had come. And one of the realities of this new creation is this new creation has been made righteous. This new creation is in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So, David, that passage we read earlier about God reconciling the world unto himself, well, it goes on to say that he who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, David, Jesus took all of your sins away from you, removed them once and for all, sent them away. He remembers them no more. And in exchange, he gave to you his righteousness. Now, when I understood that truth, that I was standing in the righteousness of God, it hit me. That's the proof that all my sins have been forgiven. Because God couldn't declare you righteous, David, unless he had forgiven or taken away all your sins. If there was one sin of yours that was left unpunished, undealt with, unjudged, uncondemned, God could never give you his righteousness. But the fact that he gave you his righteousness is proof positive that all your sins have been forgiven. Now, when I started resting in that truth and thanking God for that truth, guess what happened? I started feeling forgiven. I started feeling that closeness to God, that I was right in God's sight. And my confidence started to grow in my relationship with the Lord. And so that's where you need to start, David, the fact that Jesus took all of your sins, and in exchange for that, he gave you his righteousness.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Is Hebrews 6, if they fall away, in reference to folks who just...
Well, I think Hebrews...
I don't want this anymore, or... Yeah.
I think Hebrews 6 and the whole book of Hebrews is addressed to Hebrew people. Some could have been believers, some may have not been believers, but one thing that we do know is this group that the writer was speaking to were being persecuted. And some of that persecution was causing some of the people to rethink this gospel message. And so some were turning away from it and going back to Judaism.
Oh.
They were rejecting the message of Christ, mm-hmm. saying, hey, yeah, we've tasted, we've done all of that, but in light of this persecution, we want to go back to Judaism. We want to go back to the temple worship. We want to go back to that old sacrificial system. That's who this passage is really talking to. It's talking to people who have been confronted with the good news about Jesus, and yet they're rejecting him and saying, hey, we're going back to Judaism, and we're going to wait for something better to come along. And he's saying, well, there's nothing better that's going to come along. Jesus is the final and highest word from God to man. If you reject Jesus, there's not going to be an opportunity to repent for something better. Does that make sense?
It does. I haven't heard it explained that way. That's very helpful. I appreciate that.
Well, you're more than welcome, David. So as far as you're concerned, this passage isn't talking to you. You've repented. You've received Christ. You have been made alive together with him. You are righteous in the sight of God, which means all your sins have been forgiven once and for all, and you stand as a forgiven person. And that's good news, isn't it?
It is. Amen, brother. Appreciate that word.
Well, you are welcome, David. Let me do this. I wrote about my journey in a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and I would love to put that in your hands. I think you can identify with it, and I think it might be a big help to you.
Okay, thank you. I'll tune into this program again.
Well, thank you, David. You hold on, and we'll get some information, and we'll send that book to you.
Yeah, great to hear from you, David.
Hey, thanks for your call. Hold on.
And friends, for any of you who would like to pose a question on Basic Gospel, if you can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, weekend, it doesn't matter. Anytime, 844-322-2742. We would love to address your question on Basic Gospel. You can also drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll get it that way as well. And Bob, at the outset of the broadcast, we talked about this new resource. It is finished. Give us a little more information about that, because it plays perfectly into what David was talking about.
Well, it's a resource that really looks at the finished work of Christ. Those words from the cross that he cried out in victory, "It is finished," carry profound implications for each and every one of us. It brings us to a point where we can truly rest in what he's accomplished and rejoice in the fact that our sins have been forgiven once and for all. That is the overriding message of the New Testament, that Christ truly did die for our sins according to the Scriptures. And what that means is that he took them away once and for all, and there's nothing more to be done. His sacrifice was sufficient, and when we come to the point that we can truly rest in that, trust in what Christ has done for us, like I said, it just opens up his life to us in a marvelous, marvelous way.
Absolutely.
So this is an important resource. We want to put it in your hands. I think it will be one of the most valuable resources that you ever have.
Absolutely. Keep in mind, friends, that in conjunction with this, the Basic Gospel is listener-supported. And to help keep the good news coming, click donate at basicgospel.net or call that same number, 844-322-2742. We'll send you a copy of It Is Finished. Again, that's basicgospel.net or 844-322-2742. And by the way, that same number, as I said earlier, is available overnight. If you have a question, we'd love to post it for you. Get it answered tomorrow on Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.